Weather in the Midwest caused issues for a couple of events on Sunday, including the PGA Tour's Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. The threat of thunderstorms had the leaders tee off in threesomes at 8:55 a.m. Eastern. So by the time CBS's regular broadcast window rolled around in the afternoon, the fourth round and the tournament were complete. When it was over, Ricky Fowler had ended his four-year drought and recorded his sixth PGA Tour victory, thanks to a playoff win over Colin Morikawa and Adam Hadwin. A nice recovery for Fowler after a couple of near misses at the U.S. Open and Travelers Championship in the past few weeks. Good morning. It's Monday, July 3rd. This is your SBJ Morning Buzzcast. I'm David Albright, filling in for Abe Madcore. The other rainmaker dumped 2-plus inches of water in Chicago's Grant Park, which forced a delay to the start of NASCAR's first-ever street race. 34-year-old Shane Van Gisbergen, a New Zealand native, became the first driver to win his Cup Series debut since Johnny Rutherford did it in the second qualifying race at Daytona way back in 1963. Van Gisbergen got a chance to drive the number 91 Chevrolet in Chicago as part of Trackhouse Racing's Project 91. Trackhouse is owned by Justin Marks, and the goal for the Project 91 program is to give international drivers a shot at NASCAR. The race was originally scheduled for 100 laps and 220 miles, but it was shortened because of fading sunlight after the start was delayed more than 90 minutes because of the historic rainfall that flooded the course. The last half of the Xfinity race, set to resume after it was suspended Saturday because of lightning, was canceled. It'll be interesting to see how NASCAR views its $50-plus million investment to create and run a street race in a non-traditional market like Chicago, and whether it will do so again in the future. Either way, the weather and the tight racing on Lakeshore Drive and Michigan Avenue made for a very good television event on NBC. San Diego State, in a letter, informed the Mountain West it would not be providing official notice of departure before last Friday's 11 p.m. Pacific deadline, with a long-rumored invitation to the Pac-12 still just that, a rumor. San Diego State opted against taking a leap of faith and possibly having no landing spot for the 2024-2025 school year. The announcement likely means that the school is sticking around for at least two more years in the Mountain West. Friday's letter is at least the fifth between the two sides over the past few weeks, and it helped resolve growing confusion over San Diego State's status in the conference. It is not known if or when San Diego State will receive an estimated $6 million in conference distribution for the 2022-23 school year that is normally due in early July. The conference board must meet to consider San Diego State's reinstatement and release the funds, which is not expected to happen until mid-July. San Diego State did not have an offer from the Pac-12 because the Pac-12 does not have a media rights deal ready yet. Negotiations between the Pac-12 and media companies have sputtered for several reasons, and the assumption is that an announcement will be made before the Pac-12's football media day on July 21st. That clock keeps ticking. Speaking of lineup changes, the makeup of several conferences across the college landscape officially changed at midnight on Saturday, with the most high-profile being the four new members of the Big 12, BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. The American Athletic Conference also saw six new members officially join in Charlotte, FAU, North Texas, Rice, UAB, and UTSA. Conference USA added Liberty, New Mexico State, Jacksonville State, and Sam Houston. Speculation on further conference realignment continues as the Pac-12's upcoming media rights deal looms large. The conference's impending broadcast contract will play a massive role in dictating the course of its future, especially as the Big 12 is open to further expansion and is reportedly eyeing Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. For some, this year's shift in conference membership is just the undercard to next year's realignment main event when Oklahoma and Texas join the SEC, and USC and UCLA enter the Big Ten in July of 2024. The Minnesota Twins will remain on Bally Sports North for the rest of the 2023 season after BSN's parent company, Diamond Sports Group, made a payment of several million dollars to the team by Saturday's deadline. The payment, part of the $54.8 million rights fee for 2023, ends the uncertainty about whether DSG's bankruptcy would cause the company to abandon its contract with the Twins. contract expires this fall, but Bally Sports North hopes to strike a new deal with the Twins for next year and beyond. Because of that, it chose to maintain its ties with the team, even at a loss, for the season's final 3 months. Chicago Sky coach and GM James Wade resigned from the WNBA team on Saturday to accept an assistant coaching position with the Toronto Raptors, leaving the WNBA franchise reeling in the midst of a rebuilding season. Wade had received approval from the Sky to take coaching interviews during the season, but his departure still came as a surprise to the front office. Under Wade's leadership, the Sky won its first championship in 2021, then recorded the winningest regular season in franchise history the next season. Despite the challenges created by Wade's exit, Sky co-owner and chair Nadia Rawlinson voiced support for his decision, citing his move to the NBA as a reflection of the Sky's growth as a franchise. Sky principal owner Michael Alter released a statement basically saying the team was happy to help Wade reach his personal career goals. The new, yet-to-be-named Women's Pro Hockey League is set to launch in January after union members cleared the final major hurdle yesterday by unanimously ratifying a collective bargaining agreement and a constitution. The ratification effectively clears the way to launching a new league, which will bring together the top female stars in North America with the potential to attract Europe and Asia's best as well. The CBA runs through 2031, and having one in place before the league begins play marks a first for a professional women's sports league in North America. What's left now is to determine a league name and to decide where its 6 teams, 3 in the United States and 3 in Canada, will be based. That's your SBJ Morning Buzzcast for Monday. We'll be off tomorrow in observance of the July 4th holiday. I hope everyone has a great day, enjoy some quality time with family and friends, and we'll see you back here Wednesday morning.